I feel like we're getting ready to embark on a great fairy tale, but this is not a fairy tale. It really happened, and life really happens every day, right? But the story we're telling ourselves, is it the story that God has for us? Sometimes you feel a little stuck, Well, first, I want to bring your attention to an insert in your bulletin. And on one side, I forgot my copy. Can someone hold one up? Thank you, Marie. Thank you. Oh, that's okay. I'll just let you hold it up. One side is a story I'm telling myself. You can doodle on that or sketch it out, write it out. The other side is a story of faith that God is writing with you, which can be, maybe as you've noticed, completely different than the story you're telling yourself. Well, being stuck. Anybody got some good stuck stories? I do. Maybe you've been stuck at the airport. How many people have been stuck at an airport? Yes, not very fun, right? One time I got stuck at the airport and they said, Mrs. Sinclair, we're so sorry for this delay. We'll have the plane ready to go in no time. Well, then I go up to the counter an hour later. Mrs. Sinclair, we're so sorry. The brakes aren't working very well. So we are working on those and we'll get you on your way very soon. And I'm like, okay, if it's the brakes, we don't need those to take off, but we do need those to land. So I'm completely fine with that. Well, a few hours later, Mrs. Sinclair, I'm so sorry. Your flight is canceled. Stuck at the airport. Or maybe your worst fear is being stuck in traffic. How many of you enjoy being stuck in traffic? You're going absolutely nowhere. Okay, well, let's bring a story here. What about a family of four? They've just finished a glorious time at Universal Studios. You're on your way back. This is in January. And you hear a forecast report that it's snowing in the mountains. The grapevine is closed, so we are rerouted to the road to Mojave. Yes, in the high desert. But what was the most fun part about this? We were with all these California people who had never driven in snow. That was not fun. So for 6 hours, we are stuck in the middle of nowhere with no facilities. There's three girls in the car. That was so fun. And then the road completely closed. But we did eventually find a hotel. But anyway, being stuck on the road, that's happened in a snowstorm more than once to us. But maybe you feel stuck in a job. Can we have this picture? Your wheel isn't going anywhere. Maybe the same monotonous things you do every day and you realize, I was made for more than this. Let's get moving. But you're stuck. You don't know what to do. Well, I think this is a story perhaps of the woman in Luke 8. She is stuck in a physical condition that she cannot control through no fault of her own. And yet, she has faith. But first, can I tell you a story about my little brother? I love telling stories about my brothers. They are younger than I. And when we lived in Oklahoma growing up on the Kansas-Oklahoma line, we had this big backyard with all these Italian cypress in the back before you went out to the field. But we also had this mulberry tree. And it was a favorite tree, for whatever reason, to climb because we could reach the branches. We could climb up there, perch at the top. Well, about 12 feet from this tree is a grill. Now, I looked for a picture for this and could not find it. It must have been built in the 1960s. It was a brick grill. You know, the grill sits about here, but it has a chimney that goes way up, maybe 12 feet. Okay, so all three of us kids are in this tree. All of a sudden, I notice somebody's missing, and it's my youngest brother, Eric. Well, I wasn't too concerned, but I'm perched up here in this tree. I'm just looking around. All of a sudden, I see this little head poking out of the chimney. I'm like, what How did you do that? He must have climbed up, lowered himself in, and he is wedged in there so tight. He cannot move. And he's not saying a word because he knows he's in trouble. So I jump out of that tree. Mom, Mom, come quick. Mom walks out. Surveys the situation. We are going to have to call the fire department. That was her solution. Of course, we live in the country. Well, you'll have to stay tuned in for the rest of that story. But can I tell you one more story? A personal story of me being stuck. This began when I was 37 years old. I remember it distinctly because I've always been interested in nutrition. I started taking classes at OU. I was riding my bike on campus. Brent was taking care of the girls while I had classes. And I was having the time of my life. It was great. I loved it. But out of nowhere, I started getting these excruciating migraines. And they persisted. And then we moved to Tucson. And what did I become stuck in? Migraines. One day, every week, like clockwork, I would be in severe pain. Well, meds didn't help. Imitrex, I took it. It didn't help. Nothing took the edge off the pain. Meanwhile, I was involved in many different ministries, serving in the community, started a junior youth group, mentored young women. There were many things that I enjoyed doing, including hosting my life group. But sometimes I would have to leave early or just say, sorry, friends, I have to go lie down and turn on my worship music. And you guys know because some of you have migraines. Turn on the worship music, something calming. Just try to will yourself to sleep. Well, the interesting thing is God always gave me the energy and the stamina to do what he called me to do. But there were times that I couldn't complete the evening. I would just have to say, sorry, friends, I've got to go. And that was okay. Now, I never blamed God. I never said, God, why are you doing this to me? But I did pray, God, will you take away this pain? But he didn't. And so this became my life. And I accepted it. But there were things that I missed. I missed my daughter's softball games. I missed some events at church. I had to leave early from things. And I missed our niece's wedding. So that kind of hurt. That I didn't see any change. I was stuck in that cycle of migraines. One every week. So how can you have faith when you don't see change? I want to know. If you have an answer to that, come and tell me afterwards. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith gives us the courage to believe in what is possible and only possible through God. Well, this woman in Luke 8:40, you can turn to this story in your Bible on page 833. This woman in this story has every reason to feel stuck. She's been sick for 12 years. 12 years. What has changed? She's gotten worse. She's gotten worse. Let's pray, and then we are going to dive into the scripture. Holy God, I invite your full presence here today. Please come and teach us from your word, which is living and active. I love it, God, that when we open the word, Christ is here. Jesus, you are the word. You are precious to us. Your name is precious to us. Lord, through the power of your spirit, reach into our hearts. Transform us, God, step by step. We surrender to you in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Okay, I am reading from the NLT version, Luke 8:40. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader from the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who's 12 years old, is dying. Now, let me give you just a little context on the crowd. Just think about if Dwayne Johnson, the Rock, came to Modesto and he is going to end shape. This man works out every day. And guess what? All of Modesto wants to see his workout. And they're lined up on the street. Some people are in the gym. And he's going after it. Everybody's like, I want to be like him, the Rock. I want to be like him. And then he comes out, and what does he do? Does he get in his limo? No, he jogs. He jogs to the farmer's market because he eats healthy, right? Yeah. And so what does everyone else do? They're with him. They're with him. They are surrounding him. Everybody wants to get close to the Rock. Everyone wants to get a word from the Rock. Everyone wants an autograph from Dwayne Johnson. Well, Jesus almost had celebrity status. The crowds were pressing in on him. Some of the translations say that they were even almost crushing him. It was that type of high-pressure crowd. Curious people, desperate people, teachers of the law, people who were just there. They wanted to see what was going to happen as Jesus went to heal Jairus' daughter. So as Jesus went with Jairus, he was surrounded by the crowds, verse 43, and a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. The fringe of the robe, the hem of the garment, the priestly garment that has tassels on it with blue thread woven throughout, reminded them of the commandments of the Mosaic law that they were to obey. Hem of a garment also denoted importance. The more intricate the weave, the more important the person. So as she reaches out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she is healed. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of Jesus. The whole crowd heard her explain why she touched him and why she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace. So for 12 years, this woman has waited for some bit of improvement. We can look at the other accounts and weave together details from Matthew 9 and Mark 5 as well, that she hadn't just sat there in pain. She had actively tried to find a solution to her ailment. She had spent all of her money seeing different physicians, and yet she's still not well. And then according to Leviticus 15:25, we read about all the purification rituals that had to be done when a woman was unclean or anyone was unclean, but particularly women. Because during their monthly cycle, they are unclean. And whatever they touch then becomes unclean. And of course, with a continuous flow of blood, she cannot attend family celebrations or weddings. She can't attend community events. She cannot even worship with her faith family at the synagogue. This woman, her refuge has become her home, because to be in public, there is shame. Staying in seclusion is safe. So her desperation for Jesus is growing. It's growing. And so by faith, she leaves the comfort of her home, which has a risk involved, right? She walks down these narrow streets of her village, probably with her face somewhat covered. She's used to the whispers. She's used to the pointing. She's used to people scooting across the street. Social distancing, Remember that? Sometimes it reappears as a new virus or sickness comes up in our community. I experienced this about 8 months ago. I was running to the park and having a great old time. Well, for some reason, my mouth was opened while I was running. I have no idea why. And guess what? A bug flew into my mouth. I'm coughing and hacking, and this man that was coming towards me walking his dog just promptly turns around. And I'm like, I'm not sick. I have a bug in my throat. Social distancing. It's real. So imagine this woman has social distanced for 12 years. What does that do to the inside of you? What does that do? You can imagine that. Well, as she listens to the loud roar of the crowd that's surrounding Jesus, the voices guide her to the exact location. She sees all the people, the young moms, the children, the grandparents, the people in her community. She sees the religious leaders there. They're curious as well. Everyone is surrounding Jesus. And she is just looking for her break. How can she get into this crowd without being thrown out? Because if she touches someone, they become unclean. Well, by faith. Believing in the unseen, courage wells up within her, and she does join the crowd. By faith, she joins the crowd following Jesus. Let's watch this clip and see how this could happen.
One thread. Just a fringe. One touch. One thread. Just a fringe. One touch. One thread. Just the edge. Only a thread.
You! I know you! Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yussi!
This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, I promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Open! Sorry. Try tomorrow.
Oh, please, just a moment. Just
by faith, hoping against all hope, she sees herself being healed. She reaches forward to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And immediately the bleeding stops. She's healed. Time out. Stop. What does that have to do with you and me? Well, Jesus says, wherever two or more are gathered, that he is with us. Amen? He is with us. And when we open the word, Christ is present. Faith in the unseen. So every time we gather, we catch a glimpse of Jesus in our midst. Every time we open the word, he is present. Every time we go to him in prayer with faith, the size of a mustard seed, he is with us. Do you believe that? Yes. And each and every time, he has something to give us. Restoration, peace, joy, and yes, perhaps even a healing. That is what our Jesus does. He lifts you out of being stuck. He healed this woman's physical suffering. He ended it. But what was still bleeding? the woman's heart. Her heart was still wounded. Although she's overwhelmed with gratitude, there's something in her that needs to be healed besides the physical healing. Bleeding from rejection, from shame placed upon her. And so what does Jesus do? I'm like, Jesus, how could you do this? You're calling her out in front of all these people. Hasn't she been through enough? Hasn't she been embarrassed enough? So let's read this again. Verse 46. Jesus says, someone deliberately touched me because I felt the healing power go out from me. And when the woman realizes that she can't hide anymore, she comes forward. She begins to tremble and falls to her knees. She is scared. But guess what? The whole crowd hears her story of suffering and her story of courage and how she came to be part of this crowd following Jesus. And what does Jesus call her? What does he say? He says, let's say it louder. Daughter, daughter, this woman has been rejected by her family. She doesn't have a family. She's been abandoned. Jesus restores her into the community. Whose community? His, the family of the Messiah. Do you think that preached in Galilee? Yes, it preached. Everyone heard that. This woman's shame was gone in an instant. Friends, there's no sin, no shame, no sickness that our Lord cannot overcome. He can unstick us from those situations, from those feelings. And we all have emotional hurt. So he says, daughter, your faith, it's your faith that made you well. Not the hem of my garment necessarily, it's your faith. And then go in peace. Go in shalom, the harmony with God and with people. We all have something within us that needs to be unstuck. Do you feel it? Yeah. Maybe you've been working so hard that your constant mood is lacking joy. You're stuck in grumpiness. You're stuck maybe in a relationship that isn't healthy or in habits and substance abuse that's not healthy. God has more for you. It could be anything. It could be stuck in anxiety or depression. Jesus can unstick us from those things. But let me present this. Wherever we are stuck, it could be an area, because I'm putting these two things together, where healing is going to come into our life. Healing. Because remember, Jesus heals the whole person. He's not going to leave this woman just physically healed. He wants to heal her heart. He wants to heal the whole crowd. You know why? Because they were stuck. They were stuck. It was a shaming culture. They needed to hear her testimony. How they had shamed her. How they had pointed at her. How they had said unkind things to her behind her back. Or in front of her face. They needed to hear that story. This woman is part of the Messiah's family. The very person that they had been looking for. So what are some practical action steps for us? Well, the very first thing, be ready to be uncomfortable. Leave your comfort zone. Was there anyone comfortable in this story? I don't think so. I don't think anyone was comfortable in this story. Think about the disciples. They had fun with Jesus, but what about the comfortability factor? Yeah, plenty of times they weren't comfortable. We have to get uncomfortable and release those things that we're holding on to that are keeping us in isolation or seclusion or things that are replacing our Lord because we want him to be Lord. So by faith, number two, join the crowd that follows Jesus. Join the crowd that follows Jesus. Find some faith-filled friends, not friends that just say they believe, but friends that are actively walking in their faith. We have young adults today that are going to be out in the community sharing Jesus at the mall. I applaud that. Woo! You all go. I'm so proud of them. They are not afraid. They are proud of their faith. Friday night, we all went to a concert in the Bay Area, and you know how that can be. It was a huge crowd, huge crowd. And as we all file out, it's almost impossible for all nine of us to stay together. And so just by nature of huge crowds, we got separated. But guess what happened? When we were all outside, we all came back together. Nobody gets left behind. Find that crowd, that life group that you can do life with. Encourage one another, support one another. And if you're really pursuing change, find a mentor. Find someone that can be that tail kicker for you and support and encourage you in the next steps of faith. And then the last one, by faith, reach out to Jesus every day. Is this a checklist? No, it's not. You might have other things. Please come and tell me afterwards. Reach out to Jesus every day. This is not, hi, how you doing? Bye, see you later. Right? It's not putting in my prayer time. No, it's a conversation. Don't you guys have questions? I have so many questions. I ask God questions all day long, and I try to put some praise in there in between the questions. Now, he doesn't answer all those questions, but he answers about half of them. Why? Because I need to remain unstuck. And there's still some things I'm stuck in that he's working on, heart issues. Personal relationship is the greatest place for healing that you will ever find or experience. Jesus is life. There is nothing else, no gym, no food, no medicine that can replace the power of our Creator, the one who gave his life for you and for me. Spend time with Jesus. Make it fun. Go to the mountains. Go swimming. Sit under a tree. Have some iced tea. Enjoy the presence of God. It is sweet. It is sweet. So what faith action step is Jesus asking you to take? What is it? Everybody's got something. You want to hear what happened to my little brother? Remember him? Eric. He was so tiny, he was wedged into that chimney. He was stuck. Well, my dad came home at just the right time. Walked over there, climbed up there on that grill. He took my brother firmly by the shoulders, tugged him out with one swoop. He was out. Done. That's what Jesus does. He unsticks us from whatever we're stuck in. That's what he does. Okay, can I share my personal story, the ending? All right. Well, I was missing a lot of time with my family. I wasn't getting to do everything I wanted to do, but that was okay. You see, Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a plan. And part of his plan for me was for 12 years, I had a headache, a migraine, severe pain every week. You know how many days that is, people? That's 624 days out of my life. Now, I know many of you have had things worse than that. I'm not going to minimize that. 624 days. But I felt bad. 2 years after we moved to Modesto, God took me out of that fire pit of pain and he healed me out of that cycle of migraines. Unstuck. Did I ask for it repeatedly? No. I just did what he put in front of me. By faith. Sometimes faith is doing the next thing that God puts in front of you. And being grateful. And being around people like you all. Yes. And sometimes faith is seeing what is impossible. And believing that God will do it. Well, again, wherever you might be feeling stuck today, there is a healing to take place. Whether it's a heart wound, a physical ailment, a friendship, job situation, or you've lost your happy place. You've lost joy. So if you would like to receive prayer, the presence of Jesus and his restoration, would you reach out your hand? We're all going to close our eyes. So the reaching out of the hand is a demonstration of our faith, Lord. Lord Jesus, you see each one of us where we are. You've given us this story of this woman who believed against all odds, and you healed her. God, we come before you, and we ask you to change us. For we see no change, God, we surrender that to you. We ask for your peace, because you gave this woman peace. You give peace freely. We ask for joy as a fruit of the Spirit. And if you have never made Jesus your Savior, you have that opportunity right now. Just to say in your mind, Lord Jesus, I've gone my own way and I'm tired. I'm ready for a new way. Lord, I give myself to you. Please forgive my sins. I thank you for your sacrifice. And today I come into your kingdom and I receive the blessed gift of the Holy Spirit. If you prayed that prayer, would you please tell a pastor or fill that out on your Connect card? Thank you, Lord, for your healing power that evidences itself, proves itself every day as we come to you. And God's people said, Amen.